Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. I was talking about that a little bit on yesterday. Back when Katrina came through several years ago, I did that. As we begin to hear the report of a new hurricane coming, I went back and I let you listen to the thing that I spoke back in 1987. And what I did was I named the cities. I named the cities. And as I came to New Orleans, it was during the time of Katrina that I took that little statement, yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. And I separated from the rest of the cities because God at that point in time was zeroing in on New Orleans. It didn't dawn on me till just the other day as I began to read about this new hurricane, and I went back and played that little segment again that I mentioned three times. Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. Well, Katrina was one. Now we have another one. It's coming to New Orleans. And just off the coast, following the same path, is Miss Hannah. Miss Hannah's coming. That's right. Hurricane Hannah. And they, too, are telling us that it is increasing. We'll take the same route and possibly could end up in New Orleans. That is going to be interesting to take note. A brother writes, a brother Al Cuppet writes from his friend Bob. And brother Al tells us that Bob is a prophet. Of course, I've never been able to talk to Bob, and I don't know who Bob is except Al says his name is Bob. But he received another little note from Bob the other day. This admonition, he says, will not be vented nor received, accepted, and or followed up in any manner whatsoever. The reason, Bob says, is the mindset. The mindset is, it cannot happen here, just won't happen to America, is the promulgated and accepted New World Order line propaganda. It's going to cost hundreds and thousands of lives right here in our beloved America, because what is been told to us cannot happen here is happening here. Dear brother, writes Bob to Al, just look at the storm named Gustave. That weather system is not finished yet. Meteorologists have said this storm is unique. Nothing like it in recorded meteorological history. Now, they have been discussing this storm, and they have made all kind of tremendous preparation. An interesting thing hit me yesterday as they mentioned how the number one oil producer over there off the coast of Texas has chosen not to shut down its operation because they contribute something like 300,000 barrels of oil a day, and can't afford to do that right now, even with the threat of the hurricane coming across the way. Nothing like it in recorded meteorological history. We cannot figure this one out. We will just simply have to watch it and take lessons from it. Bob says, no kidding. Well, what you got here is the finger of God. The finger of God the Father at work. Judgment falls on the just as well as on the unjust. Our beloved America is walking upon the proverbial razor's edge. And then Bob goes on and he mentions something that's coming up. Watch this winter's weather conditions. If you think fuel prices are high now, just wait. Watch and wonder, how could this happen here? This is America, not Siberia. One word may very well describe the weather that's coming this winter. Numbing. Numbing cold is not my idea of dealing with winter weather conditions. Studying from a prophetic viewpoint, the current economic climate stateside and global, I tremble before God the Father. Brother Al, data is coming into this office and it depicts more than one banking institution collapsing, possibly as early as September 2008. I trust this information is an error and does not come to fruition. Well, it's already done that. I think on Friday they shut down another bank, which numbers number 8, and the projection on that report was that there are going to be several more before September's passed, and it could be one of the real major ones, and I think the one that was named in that report was Wachovia. Now, Wachovia is a nationwide bank, and I saw the other day where Wachovia was making a desperate effort to raise cash as they put up a CD for 15 or 16 months, well above the 4% average. Now, that's just a desperate effort to get you to put your cash into that bank as they are trying to raise capital, because if they don't, and they can't meet their payments to the FDIC and the other federal regulatory systems, down goes the bank. On another note, Russia is making her move, according to Ezekiel's prophetic writings of chapters 37 to 38. When Russia moves, the genie will be out of the political, military, and economic bottle. The global scenario of the New World Order will be unstoppable from that point forward. That's some words from our brother Bob, who's a friend of Alex Cuppet. Now, I read those things, and I let you listen to some phone calls, and I let you listen to the assertions and the assumptions of many down through the years who call, because I use them to try to relate to you the things that I have been preaching to you for many, many years. The demise of the United States. I told you when God sent me and Sister Stair with our daughter Neoma in her mother's womb, 8.5 months, he sent us into the Soviet Union. He told me that with that obedience, he would begin to bring into bear the prophetic words of Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, and begin to move around the situation to bring that to full fruition. Remember what God said. He said, I will put a Gog and Magog, I will put a hook in your jaw. In other words, I will draw you and I will prepare you and bring you to do my work in the end of the age. I also told you that by the time we're in the tribulation period, that the United States and the Soviet Union would be nonentities. Well, just a few years ago, down came the Soviet Union as the first thunder roared, and Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev went to see the Pope of Rome, starting us on the final scenario or fulfillment of biblical prophecy to bring this thing to an end. That's why I've been telling you to keep your eyes on Jerusalem. And that situation over there is really heating up today. And that is the truth. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or places of authority, positions of worship. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to cleanse a place that was defiled by an angel. I cleanse it, I purge it, prepare it for you. And if I do that, I will come again and pick up you, a prepared person, for that place. I will come again. If it were not true, I would have told you so. I don't lie, saith the Lord. I will come again. This know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that a profound statement? How do you deal with that? Every last one of you that's listening to me today, seeking their own, Paul said. All the others are seeking their own. We have left all to follow you, said Peter. What are we going to get? What am I going to get out of this? I gave up my boats and my fishing nets. What am I going to get? I mean, come on, God. What am I going to get in this life? I have decided to follow you. What am I going to get while I live in this world? Well, Jesus told us you're going to get tribulation and persecution, and you're going to be hated and despised. Why would anybody want to embrace that? How can you present Jesus Christ with that kind of a message to a world? Well, if you understand why Christ came and why God made man, he's dealing with sin and iniquity. And to all of us who have been saved, you know what you've been saved from, your sins and your iniquity. This know also, he said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud. Isn't that something? I just sit and look at those words, and I look around. I was off somewhere the other day. We went to visit someone, and I was sitting watching humanity as they were going into stores and into restaurants. And every single one of them, whether they look good or look bad, there was such a proud spirit. I mean, it could be as ugly and out of shape and ill-dressed or well-dressed. It didn't make any difference. They were so proud. I saw a young man who acted like a woman, had a long hair on. He was so arrogant and proud. You would have been very detrimental for anybody who even mentioned something to him. His little children were acting very unruly. And I could guarantee you better not have said a word to him about it. You'd have got yourself in a fist fight or whatever. Perilous times shall come. Why? Because men are lovers of their own selves, their own nation, their own race, their own color, their own religion, their own country. You know, we just love our own. You know, one of the things that we often tell you about Christians, and see, most of you people, you don't know a Christian. Many of you don't even know what a Christian is. Many of you who say you're a Christian, you are so far from being a Christian, it's unbelievable, but it is believable. Professing themselves to know God in their works, in their actions, in their way they live, in the way they talk, in the things they do, they prove they know God not at all. Their heart is far from him, seeking their own. The Apostle Paul, I often say this, when he came down to passing the mantle, he passed it over to his beloved son, Timothy. And then he presented Timothy to the rest of the body of Christ, and he said, I send on to you Timothy, because I have charged him. I charge you, Timothy, he said, you preach the word. You be instant in season and out of season. When people receive you, when they reject you, when they like what you say, when they don't like what you say, you preach the word. You be instant in season and out of season, and you reprove, and you rebuke, and you exhort with all long suffering. The reason I'm telling you this, Paul says, is don't be moved away from it, for the time will come when men will just not endure sound doctrine. They won't have it. They won't have you preaching about Jesus and his coming and the reality of the prophecies coming to pass. Say unto us smooth things. There ain't going to be no tragedy. You're not going to have to go through anything. Jesus is going to come, and boy, in the meantime, we're going to have ourselves an abundant life down here. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Proud. When Paul said to the church, so I'm going to send you Timothy. He's the one that's got the mantle now. He's the son of man after me. He said, because he is the only one. Isn't that something? Every time I read that little account, I shudder inside of me. Who worked with Paul? Barnabas, Silas, Apollos. He mentioned many fine men. And as he looked around to see which one God was going to give the mantle of power and authority at that time to, he picked out Timothy. So when I think about you and how God prepared you with the faith that he put in your heart, it was in your grandmother and your mother, and now it's on you, and then how it was activated by the laying on of the hands of the presbyter or the one in authority, he said, I send you forth, son. Then he told the rest of the church, well, you received this young man. Why would you pick out a young man, seemingly a no-name young man, Paul, with all these fine other personalities and great preachers? Why? So because as I evaluated this and made a judgment, I have found out that he is the only one who has a heart like mine. What kind of heart did Paul have? Why should I have a care for all the churches, for all the people of God, not just my own little clique, for my own little group, but for the people of God throughout the whole world. Said all the rest of you, all you're doing is operating and seeking your own, trying to establish your own little kingdom, your own little doctrine, your own little creed. Well, isn't that what you do the rest there? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Bible tells us that true Christians, when they get right with God, they surrender everything of this world they have. In the book of Acts, it said they sold all those who had houses and lands. They sold everything. This morning, I looked down here at my little old telephone identity thing, and up come a name of a fellow down there, I think in Hemp Hill, Texas. He'd been trying to get through to me again. For many years, I've just pushed the man off and pushed a man off and pushed a man off. And he said, I don't know why you're doing that. Well, I can tell him why. Because many, many years ago, when he came to this prophet, and he came here to one of our meetings, and I dealt with him. He went back home and he started to make comments and assertions. He probably don't remember. See, people, they think they can say things against the prophet, and they think they can speak out against the man of God, and it's all right, just like that. But I don't take no retribution on them, but God does. God just shuts them out. That's all he does. And God just cuts them off. Whosoever will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. I sat last night in my house, laid in my bed, and I thought of how many men down there in Picayune, Mississippi, over there in Arkansas, over there in New Jersey, and Where up there in Michigan and what state have I not out there in Washington State? I watched how God cut people off, just cut them off. You don't hear nothing from them. You don't know whether they're living or dead. And it's an amazing thing. One of the things that came to me last night was the scripture that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then God reminded me how I need to keep on making judgments, but judge with mercy, or judge with mercy in mind. Or to this particular fellow down in Hempton, Texas, I thought about him. I thought, well, he's been playing with me. I guess he's repented. He don't even know what to repent of, though, because he still probably doesn't remember how he spoke out against me, how he then went against something I told him to do and got himself ensnared and entangled when God had him in a position where he could have really been a strength and a help to the prophet. Went out and got himself married and an old man and got himself entangled. And ever since that time, there was times when I wouldn't receive an offering from him. Then there was a time when I opened up and did take an offering or two from him. And I'm just doing this right now to show you how God helps me to make judgments and deal with them. And so for the last several months, I just sent his money back and cut off his communication, because the man just needs to repent of the things that he did to come against the prophet maybe 20 years ago. So I can show him mercy. He can get forgiveness. And this morning when I saw his name pop up, I said, now there it is, Lord, what do I do? And so I'm listening, because he got a satellite. I know he's sitting right there listening right now. And I'll tell you what you do. You just go get all that little money you got saved back, all that little money that you hold back, and send me a couple $1,000. Just do that today and help us right now to pay these radio bills, as so many are doing. As I mentioned to you folk the other day, can you imagine a man from Croatia, a brother in such dire financial circumstances, sending $750? And some of you folk living in America, and you got money laid back, and you just hang on to what? Well, you're going to lose it. You just go ahead. You just keep on, you rich man. You hold on to your wealth. Hold on to your little old check, because this time, this economic collapse is going to come. And you Christians who have thought you were going to make it with your checks and your retirement plans, you're going to find out. You really are. Well, you're not being very kind. Why not? I warned you and forewarned. There's only one way to be secure. You give to God. You sell what you have. You give to God. You keep back nothing to maintain this life. You need to do it now. You need to do it now. And whether you do or not, it doesn't make any difference to me personally, because I will be on this radio talking to the world and to the saints of God until God says, it's enough. He puts me up. He puts me down. And that's what you do, my friend. Get over there and get to your bank tomorrow and get out all the extra money you got laying around. You put that thing in a cashier's check and send it right over here to the prophet. And I will pay the radio bills, help keep the satellite on the air so you can listen and hear like you ought to. Say, the mailing address is The Overcomer, Post Office Box 691 in Walterboro, WALTERBORO in Walterboro, South Carolina. And the zip code is 29488 USA. Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. Yay, New Orleans. You know, I sometimes just sit here and I want to do like God. Yeah, he said the kings of the earth have gathered themselves together against the Most High God and say, we're going to break off his bonds on us, where he's not going to hold us to judgment and tribulation and persecution and death. We're going to take those words of bondage off of us, this God who demands and commands that we serve him. We don't even know him. Why should we serve him? So we're going to get together and we're going to overthrow God. Yeah, you're of your father, the devil. Satan's been trying to do that for over 6,000 years. And he's failed every time, every single time. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Praise the Lord. And God, he sits on the circle of the earth. And he laughs. Yeah, that's found in Psalms chapter 2. You got your Bible? Psalms chapter 2. Listen to it. And the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together around their little old conference tables, and their counsel is against the Lord and against his anointed, Christ and the church, saying, let us break their bands asunder. These people tell us we got to believe on Christ and he's the only way. Now, we're not going to go along with that. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords of bondage, theological and spiritual bondage from us, telling us we must bow and worship the Lord God. Let us break their bands asunder. Let's show God again how we can handle a hurricane. Let's show God how we can solve every problem that mankind has and take care of the war situation and the famines and the pestilence. Well, we're gods to ourselves. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Hallelujah. I will mock you when your fear cometh, saith God. I will laugh at your calamity, saith the Lord. See, my phone number here is 1-843-538-6689. Make me a cake first. As you begin this month of September, this is going to be a very unique month. September, then October, you know, that's the month where they talk about the stock markets rocking and rattling. What was that? That they said in the book, termination booklet? The banking system will collapse by the month of February 2009. Oh, well, Brother Scare, you expect me to believe that? Well, you might collapse before then. In many of your cases, it's already collapsed. Or haven't you heard about the tremendous foreclosures that's taking place and thousands of Americans are being put out of their home and no place to go? Well, we find that out with the hurricane, don't we? We command you to get out of New Orleans. Where are we going to go? Who's going to pay the bill? Who's going to provide for our tomorrow? We have FEMA. FEMA will put you somewhere in a little old camp or a little old captivity and give you bread and water and destroy your very life. What if, God willing? What if? And he is. And he is. And he is.